This week on Out of Chicago, we have Milwaukee photographer CJ Schmidt. Well, welcome to Out of Chicago. I'm Chris Smith, and this is the Out of Chicago podcast, where we talk about everything Chicago photography, everything related to photography that would be of interest to Chicago photographers. Because this week we're talking about Milwaukee photography, and we have an interview with Milwaukee photographer CJ Schmidt. He's great. He is a night cityscape photographer, kind of like me. Yet at the same time, he also does a lot of studio stuff and all sorts of things. He's kind of like the everyman photographer. That's the way I see him, because he handles himself the right way as far as an amateur photographer should. And yet he's out there also making money, so he's doing it right. But before we get into the interview, I want to make sure that you know about our bus tour coming up this weekend, actually. And so it's going to be October 3rd, Saturday evening. We're going to be leaving from Gurney Mills, grabbing the bus and going up to Milwaukee. We'll be shooting the Art Museum. We'll be shooting around the Riverwalk. We're going to go to some of CJ's favorite secret hideouts, you know, places to get some great shots. And going to be a fantastic time shooting. So he'll be there. Angie McMonagle will be there. I'll be there. Everyone's going to be helping out, making sure that you get really good shots. We're not going to have a ton of people, so it's going to be fun. I think you'll have a really good time. Just go to outofchicago.com, look for the events page, and you can sign up there. It's $129. If you are already in Milwaukee, I don't know, email me and I'll get you a deal. My email is chris@outofchicago.com. So we're going to get right to the interview. You're going to learn a lot of stuff about going to shoot Milwaukee, even if you can't come do it with us. And you'll hear a little bit more about CJ Schmidt and everything that he does. So here we go. It's the interview with CJ Schmidt. All right. CJ Schmidt, welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you on here. We've got a bus tour coming up, and I just want to hear about all the places that you're shooting around Milwaukee. You do all sorts of stuff. You do cityscape, you do night photography, but you've also done a lot of studio stuff in the past, and it sounds like you got some new things coming up. So yeah, you know, hey, let's talk about this bus tour first. How's that sound?
Sure. Works for me.
All right. Let's talk the bus tour. So the bus tour, oh man, what's the date? October 3rd?
Does that sound right?
October 3rd. Yep. October 3rd. It's a Saturday evening. We're picking up just north of Chicago in Gurney. So you can drive up there. You can jump on the bus. And from there, we are going up to the art museum. So tell us, Milwaukee Art Museum, is that basically like the Bean? If you're a Milwaukee photographer, it's like the Bean for the Chicago photographers, like everyone shot it and you never get a different shot of it, or what's the deal?
Yeah, pretty much. I think everybody's gotten every angle at this point, but you know, it's a beautiful beautiful building that it's kind of hard not to be attracted to it. It's like ants to candy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so is the Bean. Exactly. Oh,
right.
But the art museum is just amazing. I've been there twice. And the last time I went was when you took Melinda and I just a couple weeks ago. And we went, and that was the first time I'd actually ever shot inside, which was really cool. And the outside, I'd never shot it at night. And that was so much fun as well. So, yeah, I don't know. Actually, give some people, whether they're coming on our bus tour or not, give them a couple tips for shooting either inside or outside at the art museum.
Well, for one, we couldn't get you away from that building no matter how hard we tried.
It was awesome. And you know what? You kept trying and trying, and you know what my best picture was? The last one. Yeah. And if you let me take more, I probably would. They would have gotten better and better. But yeah, I got some. I love some of the shots I got that night. It was so much fun. So,
and that's usually the way it works. It's always the last one you get.
you know what? Sometimes it's like that, and then sometimes I'm like, man, I keep shooting, and it's just getting worse and worse. Nope. But that night, it just seemed to keep getting better and better. So
it's a great building. You know, the big thing, everybody gets the traditional shot from the west looking east up across
They got fancy names for all this stuff.
The walkway. Yeah, I can't think of the fancy name of the walkway, but the walkway that takes you to it. Everyone gets that shot. But, you know, there's other ones like I was showing you that evening where you go off to the patio on the south side of it. Everybody, a lot of people miss that one, but sit down on that patio, you can get some good shots.
Yeah, you could actually walk up on that patio. You would have never guessed it, but that's like open to the public. There's just a little small stairs, and you're right on the side. And that was what the south side, is that right?
It's Southside, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
And then, you know, the other one outside that I did not show you guys, we did not get a chance to talk about that evening, is
You're holding back on us. You're holding out.
Yeah, I can't give you all my secrets right away, but that bridge we walked across, when you go down that bridge, if you actually look back up that bridge from the bottom level looking up, you can get some really good shots of that. I actually did one recently on the walk, photo walk I had led. And then inside that first section there, actually in the Cali Trava section there, everybody goes right to the big bay. Well, I call them bay windows. They're not really bay windows, but that's what it reminds me of, the big windows like a front of a ship. But the one shot that some people miss is looking straight up into the wings above there. So you can get a ton through there. You actually have the other one that a lot of people get, was looking down through those triangle supports.
Right. Yes. Side, that's a popular one. Man, it feels like you're on like, I don't know if it's a Death Star or whatever it is. You know what I mean? You feel like you're in a Star Wars movie, though, walking around in that place. So cool.
Very futuristic feeling in a lot of areas. Very different.
The one thing I didn't realize when we went in there is I was prepared to pay $14 or whatever it was, but to shoot those two places that are the two most famous places inside, that's in the lobby. That's free, right?
I mean, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I didn't sneak in, did I?
No. In fact, until you go in to actually head north out of that section, one area you can head north without a problem. The other area is where you actually walk into their museum itself, and that's where they charge you. But yes, you can go into that. No, a lot of people don't realize that you don't pay a thing to go in there, which is a brilliant idea, and it gets a lot of people into that building. And I think that's probably why they ended up doing it that way.
Yeah. Is there other stuff besides the art, obviously, that photographers might be interested in if you did pay the admission, or it's like go do the lobby and then go see the art on its own?
You know, I mean, it's kind of, if you're someone who really likes art, there is some really fantastic stuff in there. I've actually gone down into the lower levels of there, and they've got some furniture in there from the Victorian age that does some, you know, beautiful photos of that. It really kind of decides, you know, what your taste is on stuff. There's some old, you know, armor from the days of knights and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
One year they had a statue. I believe the artist was from China. I believe it was. Don't quote me on that, but he had all these statues, these stone statues in there that all kind of looked the same. This room was filled with them. They're all kind of laid out like chess pieces. Almost that made a really great photo. So, you know, it depends upon if that's the kind of stuff you're after. I mean, obviously it's like a traditional art museum where it does have its paintings and such, but they do have other static, you know, statues and kind of other pieces of art that would make for some good photos.
But as far as the architecture, you're going to see most of it in the beginning, right?
Correct. Yeah, that free section is going to be really the main part of the architecture.
Yeah. What's your favorite time to shoot there? I've shot there for sunrise now. I've shot there for sunset, and you couldn't pull me away at night, so you know that. And I've shot during the day. But what's your favorite time to be there to shoot the exterior?
Just after blue hour when it's just finally getting dark. I really like that. I think a lot of people kind of miss how to do, I'm not saying everybody, but I think a lot of people miss how to do night photography with it correctly. Now, your piece was phenomenal that I saw I was kind of in awe, like, hey, why didn't I do that? But I do have one kind of similar to that was done at the end of blue hour. The sky was actually very blue, but the way I converted it over to black and white, I got a black sky. So it was kind of similar to yours, but I love the how you had that blue glow. And I was like, I wish I had thought of that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, you got some awesome stuff. You're always, when you're post-processing, like you said, with the converting it to black and white, and you know, you got a dark blue sky or dark sky, then you're always trying to do something to make it a little different. So I was just trying to play with the color, you know, the white balance and that, and it's kind of cool. All right so that's the art museum. The inside's awesome. I guess I should mention, I mean, my favorite shots from there, from the inside, I think my favorite I've seen is from Angie McMonagle. She's got great shots of her kids, like silhouettes of her kids inside of it, and then she's got another one. This, like, it looked like she had to have paid this model to stand there, but I think that she said it was just someone walking by, and it's awesome. I love her shots in there. So those are really cool. So we should mention that Angie's going to be on our bus tour as well. She's coming from Chicago, and so if people come on that tour, they're gonna I'll try and help them, but you'll be there to give them tips, and Angie will as well. So it's going to be kind of a star-studded evening. So it's going to be really fun.
I'll be honest, I was very surprised and excited to see that she was going to be coming up here. The first time I actually met her in person was at your conference this summer, so it was really great to meet her. Didn't get much time to talk to her, but it'd be nice to see her again and talk to her and get some tips off of her as well.
That's right. We should mention, maybe I'll cut this part later, the whole part about how I interviewed you before you came to teach at the conference, and then I never posted posted it because I haven't done a podcast in forever. But we won't go into that and all the things about this is what I'm going to be teaching at the conference, and I never posted it. But you were one of the speakers at the conference. You were fantastic. People loved it. But you were actually teaching a lot of studio stuff, right?
Yeah, I did. I did studio stuff. I also did some stuff for Knight. I did the studio stuff for how to do location and in the studio lighting, and then the other class I taught was shooting around Milwaukee and at night.
Yeah.
So
both very popular, and you did a photo walk as well, right?
Yeah, I actually led two of them. I led one Friday night in the rain, and then
that's right,
and then the one Saturday. So they both turned out pretty well.
Yeah. No, we had a great time. Everyone loved going on those, and it was a lot of fun, right?
Right, I mean, it was a blast.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great. All right, so I mean, the conference was great. Whatever. All right, so we're going to start at the museum, and we're going to start there during the day, so you can get some day shots. You can shoot inside while it's open, but then we're also going to hit some other spots. Tell us about a couple other spots we're going to go on the tour.
One of the other areas we'll be looking at will be right actually down from the art museum called Discovery World Museum. That's a science museum down there. Got another piece of beautiful architecture in Milwaukee, more modern, a little newer. We'll go out to the breakwater out there and try to get some, hopefully if we get some decent sun that day, we get some sunset pictures from there. And then we're talking about walking down towards, the river walk in Milwaukee into the old Third Ward. Working our way from there and then possibly on up to Old Third World Street and then up to the Old Pabst Brewery.
That's right. Yes. And along the way, maybe a parking garage or two. Is that right? I mean, you don't have to give away all the secrets, but that's one of the things we're looking at too, right?
Yeah, actually, the one parking garage we're looking at would be the one by the Pabst at this point. Maybe another one, but we haven't. We're still kind of thinking on that one just because of security reasons and stuff.
That's right. There were three of us and we were getting kicked out. Yeah, I'm kind of the king of getting kicked off of parking garages with 40 plus people. So yeah, we'll try not to do that.
Right.
So it's going to be fun. You were actually saying probably your favorite spot to shoot in Milwaukee or that whole area is the Riverwalk, right?
Yes, I love the south section of the Riverwalk from Wisconsin Avenue south. The other areas, don't get me wrong, are very beautiful, but that section, the lighting, they have a lot. They have some nice LED lighting along the Riverwalk, some nice blue LED lighting. There's a lot of condos across the river that the people put lighting on the outside of it. Some of the restaurants that are along that side, they do some really nice, elegant lighting. So really at night, once you get to that blue hour and after, it's really well lit and it gives itself just some beautiful, I've gotten some very beautiful photos from working that way. The other way is good. I prefer the south side more than the north side of it.
Yeah, no, and yeah, I'm super excited. I've never shot that area, so I can't wait to do it. I mean, I feel the same way that anyone that's going to, you know, be an attendee on this thing should feel, that it's like, I have no idea what to expect, but if I were going there on my own, I'd be like just kind of wandering. But since I'm with you and I've seen your amazing shots from there, I know we're going to get pointed in the right direction. And that's not to say we want to make the same shots, but put you in a good situation and everyone can kind of do their own thing.
Yes, and the other night, Melinda and I were actually, when we were discussing the places we're going to go and kind of getting things put together, one thing she'd asked me to do is come up with a couple side areas and buildings for people to look at. So I've got to start putting a list together of that, and I'm not going to disclose those buildings till that night.
Nice.
But there are a couple other pieces of architecture here in Milwaukee. You know, we're obviously not big like Chicago where we have lots and lots of places to choose from, but we do have a few gems around here that are definitely worth looking at and getting some photos of.
Yeah, no, a super cool city, and if you're in Chicago, I mean, a great place to go up for just a day trip, just an afternoon, evening, especially if you include the museum. To me, that's kind of the highlight. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, to me, maybe it's because I don't see it too often, but to me, like that one building is probably better than anything like in Chicago or and possibly the Midwest that I've seen. I love that place.
Yeah, when Kali Chava put that here, it was kind of surprising that a big architect like that would put it in all places of Milwaukee, but it's become a big gem for us. And I'll tell you, as much as I've shot the building, I still love to shoot it. I just don't post a lot of work because I'm sure people are like, didn't you just shoot that like a couple weeks ago?
Again,
so, yeah. So I still do go out and shoot it quite a bit. I just don't post the work I get from it because it's similar to the other stuff, but it's fun to go out and shoot it. It presents challenges. I'm always trying to find a different view, a different different angle, and I'm running out of them, I have to say.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the work that you're doing, because I think that you're like the perfect, like, out of Chicago guy, and as in, like, you're not a full-time pro, yet at the same time, you are extremely good at what you do, and you do make money with what you're doing, but I mean, what's your full-time job? I forget.
Right now I'm working, I do remote IT support. I'm pretty much an IT consultant. The company I work for, we have about 250 different clients, and I work on the remote desk. People call in with issues as simple as password changes all the way up to server issues, network issues, firewall changes, firewall configurations, and I do it remotely, work on it remotely. So it's a challenging job, but you're correct. Photography is really my hobby. It's my way out. It's my therapy, so
yeah, it's your passion. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's obvious. Yeah. But you also are able to take that and make it more than just a hobby, which is really, I think, what most of our listeners are trying to do. A lot of them may be trying to eventually go into this full time, or maybe they're just taking pictures for fun. But I think most people are somewhere in between there, and that's what you're doing. And what are some of the ways that you're able to actually make some money from what you do that you've been able to find, and you can still keep doing your job? What kind of things are you doing?
Well, you know, and I'll first off admit, I'd love this to be my full-time career, but I've come to the realization it's just there's the money that I need to make is not there. So it's a supplemental thing.
Let me stop you. I know that you could do it. It would just take over your whole life, and it would make you crazy, and you'd probably end up hating photography, but I know that you could do it. There's no doubt about it. So
I'd have to start doing weddings, which I despise.
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying. You would have to make decisions that you wouldn't want to make it happen.
True. Mm-hmm. Very true. But yeah, so really, you know, when I first started making my first couple sales, believe it or not, it all came as a result of Flickr. And the key there was when I started keywording and or what some people call it tagging my photos, what was represented in that image. That's when people started to discover my work, and I started making some commercial sales. I've got several clients who have bought my work in rather large size, 24 by 36, 32 by 48, and put it up in their offices in their different conference rooms and that's where a lot of my big sales come from. I do have there's a construction company here in Wisconsin that has a 10 foot by 24 foot version of my Milwaukee skyline on their wall in their conference room.
Wow. So was that a pano, or was that one shot that you were
14 images, 14 image panel.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the breakwater out here in Milwaukee that there's a lighthouse that you really can't get to. I did some calls around, got permission from the Coast Guard, and they said, yes, you can be out there. You just can't be anchored out there. Someone has to drop you off, and then you can be out there as long as you want. So had a friend that had a boat drop me off, and I went out there with the tripod in the middle of the afternoon and did a 14, did two different styles of panels. One was 14, one was 20. But the end of the place I was working with went with the 14, and it's a big black and white image now in this company's conference room. But you know, all my sales, most in the beginning came from Flickr. People finding me on there. A couple of magazines I've made it in have been from Flickr as well. But then I do sell my work on Fine Art America, and I've actually been finding out that some restaurants have been going out there and buying my work, getting it all framed up and everything, and put in the restaurant. I've had a couple where all of a sudden I've got seven images going to someone. Well, I thought maybe it was somebody for their house, and I've been finding out through back channels that these were actually restaurants locally that were buying my work to put up in the restaurants.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I don't do Fine Art America. Sounds like I should, but it's kind of like if you're doing like the Flickr Getty image thing, it's like, hey, someone bought one of your pictures and you made this much money, and you have no idea who's got it or where it may be. Is that the same way with Fine Art America?
Fine Art America, you know the city and state that it was in, but you don't know who it was. It'll tell you. And you know, I've actually had one of my photos that Fox Networks bought out in L.A. for a pilot show that never took off. But I saw photos out in L.A. and then a day later, I'm getting an email from Fox Networks saying, hey, we need a release to be able to use this on one of our pilot shows. So, you know, everybody kind of looks at everything out on Fine Art America. I've had a couple purchases go overseas. I had one go to Germany. I did have one go to Japan. So it's worldwide. And it's reasonable. It's $30 a year for a professional account. It's worth putting stuff up there.
You've made more than $30. Just kidding.
Yeah. Yes, I have. Yeah. But I'm saying that's all it costs you a year is $30. So it's worth putting it out there.
Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. All right. Well, you talked me into it. So that's awesome. And I can vouch for what you're saying with the Flickr thing. And it's surprising because you'd kind of think that maybe Google Plus or somewhere else may be the best place. But it seems that Flickr, for whatever reason, shows up the best in just search results. So people just search on Google and it seems that those Flickr results are always coming up near the top. And you're right. That's, I mean, lots of people find images through there and they're like, hey, we want to use it for this. We want to use it for this. And sometimes they're like, can we have it for free? And other times they'll say, hey, well, you know, how much would it be? And you can give them a price. But yeah, I mean, it's really like the perfect thing nowadays. I guess there's pros out there that are like, man, we used to make, you know, $5,000 for one image like that. And we're like, well, we're making less than $5,000, but we're sure happy to do that. And we have a full-time job, right?
Right. You know, and when I first started out there, I did price myself pretty low just because I wanted to make some sales. And once people kind of started to notice me and I started to realize the quality of my work, I boosted my numbers up on my cost. And honestly, where I have them right now, I never thought anybody would be buying them, and I'm making more sales now than I did at the lower cost. So it's one of those things, every year when I get towards the year of renewing, do I want to bump my fees up again or not? And then that's, you know, every year at the end of the year, I'm deciding, all right, is my, where my value of my work is now, is it, should I go up? Should I stay? Because it amazes me that people are willing to pay what they do. But I guess those are the people who are true art connoisseurs that, you know, no art, no good art is not cheap.
Yeah. No, you're doing the right thing for sure. And I love it. You're able to do what you love. You're shooting what you love. You're not out there shooting for somebody else, trying to get it the way an art director wants it. You're doing it the way you want to do it, yet people love it. So to me, that's the way to do it. The other thing that you do that we didn't talk about this earlier, but I'm pretty intrigued by is you're shooting dogs for a rescue. Is that what it is?
Actually, it's the Wisconsin Humane Society, the Milwaukee campus. Long story short, a couple years ago, they asked me to do one of their events. I was a volunteer for one of the events, and it turned out they were very happy with how it turned out. So they've had me back the last couple years doing the events. And then earlier this year, the woman I deal with for that came to myself and a couple of other photographers they use for events and asked who had interest of coming in once every other week to do 2 to 3 hours of sitting down photographing some of the animals are having a hard time getting adopted. Three of us got selected. I was one of them. So every other Monday, I'm in there from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. They give me a list of anywhere from 4 to 10 dogs. Some of them came in, you know, a day before I got in there. Some have been in there for over a week. But my job is kind of go in there and show the good sides of the dogs, bring out their personalities and that, and hopefully get them adopted a little quicker. And I've been happy to say that everyone that I have put up in recent weeks, just about all of them have gone. I did a puppy this past week, and it was kind of funny because I saw her on the site the next day in the morning. By the late afternoon, she was gone.
That's awesome. It's the power of photography. Absolutely.
It is. And being a big dog person myself, having 4 dogs already, it just feels good to be able to help find these other dogs homes, because I'm ready to sneak a couple more home myself.
That's what you were saying when we went the other day. Yeah, so that's good that they found homes. Yep. Otherwise, it might be bad at the Schmidt household. Yes.
Yeah, getting a little full around here.
No, that's good though. But that just goes along with what I'm saying. I mean, you're out there, you're shooting what you love, and maybe you're not making you know a full time salary doing it, but you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. You're making the world a better place. I mean, what more could you ask for from photography?
Right. You know, and I will not deny there's been many times I've gotten frustrated because I haven't really been making the money I want to, or not getting people to notice the stuff I create. And in fact, recently I just kind of sat down and kind of thought to myself and decided, you know what, it's enough. I'm in this because I love what I'm creating. And if people aren't going to notice it, that's fine. But, you know, and I'm not saying people don't notice it, but sometimes you want people to see it more than what they are. But I've decided that when I'm creating my best work is when I'm doing it for myself. And that's really what I'm in this for, is the sales don't matter. The likes on Flickr, the likes on Facebook really don't matter. It's what I really truly want to express and show. You know, a lot of people ask me how I got into photography. Long story short, my father and my grandfather both did it. So I'm kind of, I always tell everybody I'm third generation. I've got a 15-year-old daughter that's become fourth generation because she's got the eye too. And I just need to keep telling myself, you know what, everybody in the family has done this for fun. Nobody's done this for money. And when I do it like that, that's when I think I create my best work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is great advice. I love that whole thing you said there. That's good. All right. This one's off. We didn't talk about this, so I'm putting you on the spot here. Of all the stuff that you do, my favorite is, your studio stuff's great. It's all great, but I love your cityscape work. And there's so much to shoot, whether it's Milwaukee or Chicago. Give us a couple of tips for shooting cityscapes, maybe even cityscapes at night. Give us a couple of your favorites.
The cityscapes, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm actually bored with daytime photography. And no offense to anybody that does that, but for myself, it just doesn't do a lot for me. And I think the reason is the night brings out stuff that a lot of people don't see with the naked eye. I love being able to do the longer exposures to bring out like light trails, the starbursts you see, lights, you know, on the city lights, all the colors of the night. But, you know, obviously with do that stuff, a lot of people don't realize, at least I was kind of surprised by this, you need a tripod. I do most of my stuff, believe it or not. You know, I know you yourself, you were saying, you and I were talking that evening, you were surprised I went into bulb mode. I love doing 45 to 60 second exposures.
Yeah.
I love to shoot just a little longer. And the reason I do that is that's where you get those light streaks. That's where you get those starbursts. So I like to go a little longer in my shots. That's really my biggest thing. People are kind of surprised. I also run it at about an ISO 400. I have a rule of ISO 100 through blue hour. Once blue hour is over, I bump it up to ISO 400 and put my F up around F16, F18. I've done F20, F22, and I've heard the arguments out there. People say you really don't need to go that far, and I agree. But it depends upon how much detail I want to pull in. Now, when we were out shooting over by the Pabst Brewery, and I was borrowing your tilt shift.
Yep.
I went a little
shorter.
Which
is not mine anymore, by the way. This is really sad. I just sold it and just shipped it away just this afternoon. How sad.
Oh, you have no idea how badly I wanted to buy that from you. But
sorry.
That's my dream lens. Oh, no, I can't afford that at this time. That's my dream lens.
One of these days, you'll make that huge sale on the Fine Art America.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, exactly. And that's on top of the list, that lens. So, but you know, never using a tilt shift lens at night, but looking at the work I got with it, I'm just, holy cow. But you know, those were a little shorter exposure than I usually do just because the way the light came into that lens. But, I just like to be able to adapt when I'm out there. I take a shot and the worst thing to look at obviously is the LCD, on the back of your camera, because it's not a calibrated monitor by any means, but I've learned that once you kind of learn how your camera displays things compared to how it is when you edit, after a while you learn by looking in the back what you like, what you don't like. Obviously, histogram is an important one as well. But I just kind of learned very quickly that night how well that lens did. And I actually, I don't know if you saw the two photos I did with that, the 1201 A and B of the Pabst, the one building down there.
I saw at least one of them. Yeah. It was awesome for sure. You
know, And those, that was kind of winging it that night with that lens, because I didn't know how that lens was compared to the 17-40 I use. That 17 straight brought in a lot more light, but I learned how to adapt to it. But the big thing is I like to do a little longer exposures at night than people would expect. I was actually kind of surprised, I've heard it from other people, but I was even surprised to hear from you that you didn't go into bulb mode. I'm like, okay. I thought everybody went into bulb mode, but you know, it's not a bad thing. Everybody shoots different. You know, that's how we all get our different styles. But yeah, the one thing I like going longer. I've actually done minute and a half exposures downtown. I've thrown on a light ND filter to try pull even longer. Just depends upon what I'm trying to get, but a lot of it I like getting those light trails, especially when I'm downtown.
Yeah,
those light trails. Some people are like, how did you do that? You know, and when you're talking to somebody that's a non that has nothing to do with photography, can't wrap their mind around how light works at night. That's like the very first night photography image I took with my daughter when I first got a camera, and she's walking down the sidewalk with a flashlight, and I look at the photo, I'm like, where did she go? She's not in this photo. And that's what
right.
The mystery of night photography is like, oh, this is a great thing to learn. And that's where I've kind of stuck in the night, the cityscape and whatever else. I love working in the dark, the lack of light, because you can do so many tricks that the mind doesn't think of.
For sure. No, I mean, if you never shot at night, get out there, just put it on, like you said, F-16 or something, and just go to town and shoot some long exposures, and you'll be blown away at what you get if you've never done it before. I always tell the story. I was shooting with my sister, and she looked at the back of my camera and she's like, oh, that is I can't believe that that's your shot. She goes, I figured that you were just doing Photoshop and all this HDR and all this crazy stuff. That's the original shot. I said, yeah, that's what happens when you shoot a long exposure at night. So, yeah, cool stuff for sure.
Yeah, and one other thing is, like, when I'm out doing night photography, I love when people are downtown and they hesitate to walk past me, and I tell them, walk by, you won't even show up in the picture.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah, and they laugh at me, and they're like, yeah, right. And I said, hold on a second. As soon as the image, you know, finishes, I show them, they're like, where are we? I'm like, you didn't reflect any light, so you're not in there.
Yeah. No, it's so much fun. Yeah, so what else should we talk about? I had one other thing I wanted to say. I can't remember what it is, though.
Well, we were earlier discussing the studio and equipment kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm good you're here. Glad you're here. I should have written all this down. So, so you do all the studio stuff, and whether it's studio or your other stuff, I'm kind of impressed that, like, you're getting away without using, like, the, $2,000 lenses or whatever. Like, even your studio lens, your main studio lens is, like, the 50 1.8, right, for Canon?
Yes. Yep, the $108 special.
God, if you see some of your images out there, I mean, you look at that and you go, oh man, that guy's got his L lenses going, that guy's, you know, he's got it going on, and you're shooting it with a $100 lens, and it just goes to show that it's not the equipment, it's the photographer.
Well, and the big trick with that lens, and I think what people run into the problem with that is they don't realize that lens is very sensitive with light. It needs a lot of light to focus sharp. And if you've got a lot of light on your subject, when you go to focus and you get that focus in, it focuses very sharp. And the beauty of working in the studio is you have a decent amount of light going. So I can get in and get a very sharp photo of a model with a relatively cheap lens. Now, don't get me wrong. I have used the more expensive, the 24-70, I believe, is the L lens. A friend of mine had that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, beautiful photos with that, but I'm doing almost the same thing with the 50 millimeter, which, you know, I kind of back my, it's one of those things you kind of pat yourself on the back. It's like, yeah, nice job. But it's you know, it's just learning your equipment. You don't need to have crazy expensive stuff. For a long time, I didn't have an actual neutral density filter. I used a piece of welder's glass I put over the end of my lens, and I learned how in Photoshop to get rid of the green hue and get nice long exposures without an actual ND filter. The welder's glass cost me $12 compared to an $80 ND filter. So you can do a lot with inexpensive equipment. You don't, it's kind of like when you went to school, you don't need the name brand clothes to be the cool kid. You know, you can do the good stuff with the inexpensive stuff.
It didn't work for me either way.
Well, it didn't either for me in high school, but I can say it now older. So, yeah. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It worked for sure.
Yeah. Right. But no, seriously. I mean, I got the $108 50 millimeter lens. That's my prime lens I use when I'm out shooting people. In fact, the photo I just posted earlier this week called Communicate with the gentleman sitting in the middle of the street in the chair. That was a challenge because it was low light that night and you can't run the continuous light on a battery pack, but I was still able to do that with the 50 millimeter lens.
Yeah. Tell us about this project you got. You said you're going to be shooting in the streets a little bit more now.
Well, it's an offshoot of this project. I work with two different producers. The one gentleman creates the beats and that, and the other one's more of a producer. But they, I work with them quite often to create artwork for their different albums, their different, when they're going to be trying to get some of their music out there and stuff like that. So I do a lot of photography for them. And we did a shoot on Saturday, actually pretty close to the Pabst Brewery, in the middle of the street. It was a kind of a quieter street. I mean, we still had traffic, but it was only a car every, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But we were out in the middle of the street, kind of in the rough area. They're rebuilding the building around there. So we had some construction equipment in the background, and we're doing some photos for them. And the one set of photos I did, I had brought in an old leather chair that was kind of ratted up and set it down the middle of the street and took pictures of these gentlemen sitting in the chair. And it sparked an idea that I think I want to kind of go a little further on is it doesn't have to be a model, doesn't have to be, even these producers. Just pick up somebody and say, hey, you want your photos done? Let's go out in the street. We'll put this chair. I've got a couple different chairs here. I'll pick whatever chair I want to bring along, set the chair down, the street, a park, whatever, and just kind of do random kind of I don't want to say street photography because it's really not.
You're in the street. Come on.
Well, right, but it's not the street photography everybody thinks of, but yeah. Kind of an urban style, urban street photography where I'm just going to pick somebody and say, hey, let's go do some photos and see what I come up with. It's kind of just some random project that just kind of sparked in my head that I think I'm going to go with. It's getting a little late in this year now to do it with the weather changing, but it would be definitely something I'll be doing for sure next year. Maybe try to create something where I get an image out a week of one person every week, do somebody different. But it's just something fun to do to kind of keep fun going. It'll probably be more of a black and white monochrome style project as well. That isn't an area I love is the monochrome stuff. I don't do enough of it as of late. I need to get back into that. But so that's one of the big projects I've got going. I've kind of backed myself out of the studio here lately. Wasn't getting the work I wanted. Wasn't going the way I wanted to. I didn't have a lot of people wanting to come in, so I backed out of the studio, and this is kind of something else to fill that gap.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And I'm sure everyone listening right now is like, man, I just want to see these shots. That's the problem with the audio podcast, right? So where can we go? We want to go see all your pictures. What's the best place for us to see them?
Well, the two best places are obviously Flickr and my personal website. Flickr, you can find me there as CJ Schmidt. Now, the trick is everybody spells my last name wrong, so I will spell it correctly. It is S-C-H-M-I-T. It is not the German version. Sorry, people. It is Luxembourg.
Yes.
And then my website is www.cjschmidt.com. But those are the two best places. Flickr has the biggest catalog, or my website. I have stuff from the last 2 years where Flickr goes all the way back 4 or 5 years, maybe even further back. But yeah, you can find it all out there. Anything I post publicly goes on both of those sites. I also am on Instagram. That's CJSchmidt74.
Sounds like your birth date.
Yes, it is.
Good. We're very close. 75. All right, good. So awesome. So this was... this was great. Thank you very much for doing this. I'm really looking forward to doing the bus trip. It's going to be great. I hope that we can get a few more people signed up. We got some spots left for that. And yeah, thank you very much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me. And thank you for having me for this bus tour. I'm looking forward to sharing this city with people from the South. I love your city. I love going down there. My in-laws still live down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the deep South.
Yeah, well, 90 miles south, but, my in-laws live down there. So I still get down there and get around, Chicago to shoot once in a while. So love that city, but it'd be nice to have you guys come up here and me be able to show you around what we've got up here. Obviously not as much, but we still got some good stuff.
Oh, more than enough to fill the night, that's for sure. We were knocking places out. It's not like we were trying to find places, so
that's true.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to keep doing more stuff with you. So thanks for doing the podcast, CJ.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right,
see ya. See, I told you he's great. Well, I'm just so excited for this tour next weekend. I'm excited to get back to the art museum. That's my favorite part. And I feel that there's so many pictures there that even though there's so many great pictures that have been taken there, I feel that there are so many more still waiting to be taken. And I'm excited to try something different. Always try something a little bit new, something a little bit different. So can't wait. Go to Out of Chicago if you're interested in joining us. Should be a lot of fun. Like I said, I'll be there. CJ will be there. Angie McMonagle will be there. It's going to be great. So join us, and we will see you next weekend, and we'll see you next time on the podcast. I need like a tagline. I need like a something to end the show with. You know, like you just say it every time, and that's how you end it. I don't know. If you got ideas, let me know. All right. Until next time. See, that's not that interesting. Whatever. Until next time. This is Chris Smith, Out of Chicago Podcast. Bye-bye.